Bibles, please, for our second reading, and we'll find that in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, Aha! Even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate, and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy, therefore, concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, Thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations, therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more, neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more, neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said unto them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among all the heathen and gather you out from all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, in the day that I have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. That was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Well, we don't have much time. The reading in Matthew was long. This is also a long reading, but I do want to say a few things because they are important to the understanding of how we understand Ezekiel prophetically speaking. So the first section, I have it down through verse 15. And we can divide that into two sections, 1 through 7 and then 8 through 15. So Ezekiel is commanded to prophesy to the land. Now let's make sure we understand that the Lord hasn't somehow simply lost his mind and now Ezekiel's, you know, to start speaking to rocks and rivers and mountains. By speaking to rocks, rivers, and mountains, the Lord is drawing up a picture. And He will make that picture very explicit here in, what is it? Verse 12, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. The land, and we will see this, Lord willing, in the sermon this morning, the land was a type of their eternal inheritance. When we hear about Israelites who were taken out of the land or who lost their inheritance in the land, that was tantamount, by way of typology for them, to be rubbed out of the land of the living, right? To be the cursed one. The land in ancient Israel that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that He fulfilled in the days of Joshua, that they defiled, as it says here, they defiled their inheritance like cattle by trampling upon their inheritance and fouling it with their feet. The Lord says, you've trampled or you have fouled your inheritance. That is because they introduced idolatry and other wickedness into their nation that was supposed to be a covenanted and holy nation unto the Lord, typified by the land. The land is a type of their heavenly inheritance. And we learn that not in the Old Testament, but from the New Testament, where we hear about Abraham and his desires with regard to the land that God promised him. Because it says there, the author tells us in Hebrews 11, that Abraham desired a better country that is in heavenly. He wasn't tied to that earthly inheritance that he was promised. He understood its typology, that it stood for the gospel rest that they should have for all eternity with God in glory. The land stood as a type for that. And so when the Lord turns to the land, He's actually speaking to the eternal inheritance of the people of God. And on the part of their eternal inheritance, the Lord will say this to them, "You will yet inherit." That's the point that's being made here. You will yet inherit. Remember that Ezekiel is an exilic prophet. He's prophesying to people that have been taken away from their land. They're in Babylon by the river Kebar, we learn in chapter 1. They have heard about the destruction of Jerusalem. And so in this first section, the Lord builds upon what He said in the last chapter, in chapter 35, with regard to Idumea. And the reason this is so important, why does He bring up Edom? Because He is working in the way of inheritance. Remember the birthright of Esau. What was it? The rights of primogeniture, right? As Isaac's first son, he would be the one that would inherit the covenant responsibility. That gospel inheritance belonged to him because it was the firstborn. But he despised his birthright. Like we said last week, all of his descendants, since the day that Esau despised his birthright for a bowl of red pottage, are therefore, his inheritance becomes red. His land is called Idumea, the land of red. His people are called Edomites, the red ones. So that every time we think of Esau in the Scriptures, we think that he despised his birthright and gave up his inheritance. Why does the Lord bring up Idumea here? Because when Edom saw Israel carried out of the land, what did they say? Finally, we can move back into our inheritance where we belong with the rights of primogeniture. And in the last chapter, the Lord said what? But you forgot I was there. Right? That's what He said in the last chapter. In this chapter, He says, you will not inhabit this land. You will not inherit this land. This land is for my people, Israel. Now, it's not the land. It's what it stands for. Their eternal inheritance, which the Lord will never turn away from, although He takes them out of the land. And so the people of God, the elect of God, the Israel within Israel, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 9, they will inherit. God's promises to them are inviolable. They will inherit. And so that's what the first section really is about. Verses 1 through 15. And it's given in the terms, you know, to a church under age. It's given in those earthly or temporal terms. So I'm going to cause men to walk in your land again. It's going to bear its fruit and so on. In other words, your inheritance goes on. And it will be a profitable, a prosperous inheritance. Okay, so that's the first section, verses 1 through 15. All right, so then in verses 16 through 20, we hear about how they fouled their inheritance. And they fouled it in a couple of different ways, right? They fouled it by introducing idolatry into their own land. And so what did that do? It not only fouled that land, that nation, but it fouled their eternal inheritance. That all of those idolaters, they were not true inheritors of the gospel promise. So they fouled their inheritance. That's what it says. They defiled their land by their own way and their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. That is, they must be cast out for their uncleanness. They have shed blood. They are soul murderers, these folks. So I had to take them away from that land. I poured my fury upon them. I scattered them among the heathen. And then when they entered in unto the heathen, they went on and profaned my name even more. My name was profaned in that they were taken out of the land. And then when they went on, they took those sins with them. They refused to be corrected. And so that's when the Lord, in verse 21, turns the script around and he says, "But for my holy name's sake, I pursued." Now think of that for a moment. Isn't the popular conception of God that he's so tender-hearted toward people that he'll do something that's even against himself? No, because we remember, we've heard this before, and although this is a startling thing for us, we must understand it because it is biblical, that the Lord loves and honors himself first. It could not be any other way. And in loving and honoring himself first, then we have these sure statements of salvation and grace and mercy. But it is only in that first way where God says, "It was for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned, that I pursued in mercy. And I will restore my honor to my own name in your salvation," the Lord says. And how will I do that? By providing that you will no longer be scattered among the heathen. And so the Lord, in terms then, that Jesus will make use of in John chapter 3, in his conversation with Nicodemus, he will then go to the days of Messiah when the Lord gathers all of the outcasts of Israel under Messiah. And how does he do it? He does it in the terms of what we call the New Covenant. And what are the terms of the New Covenant? "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will put a heart of flesh into your flesh, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes." Jeremiah says it this way. The Lord says, "In the days of the new covenant, that I will write my law on their inward parts." Right? And so notice what it says. The Lord says, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you." Well, what does the sprinkling of clean water have to do with anything? Well, that's the sign. And what does the thing signify? That I'm putting a new spirit within you and giving you a heart of flesh and taking the stony heart out of your flesh. I am putting my spirit upon you. That is, that the diffusion of the Spirit of God in the days of the New Testament will so far outstrip the days of the Old Testament, because Messiah has properly prosecuted his messianic duty. And sitting at the right hand of God now with all authority in heaven and earth, he will send his Spirit to all his people to cause them to walk in his ways. This is what we hear in Ezekiel 36. And if we tie all of this stuff up to the land and the Jews, and they're going to somehow be reestablished in their nation as God's special people because simply they're Jews, we've missed the point entirely. The point is that in the days of the New Testament, there are those who are the children of Abraham by faith. And how do we know that? We know that because the Spirit of God has been poured upon them. Can we see that? No, we see it as a class. We don't see it as individuals per se. Right? So we look for a profession of faith. We look for those who, with that profession of faith, have submitted themselves to God in everything. That they do walk in his ways in that general sense. And this is the promise of the New Testament. You have the sign and the thing that is signified. Does everyone that has the sign upon them have the thing signified? Well, the Bible is very clear on that. No, absolutely not. If that was so, then we'd rest in the sign, wouldn't we? Instead of pressing forward to take hold of that which is signified in baptism, in the sprinkling of clean water. The receiving of the Spirit of God, the receiving of a new heart, having a heart of stone taken out of our flesh and a new heart, a heart of flesh put in. And so the rest of the chapter then speaks of the Lord's mercy and his grace. This is all of grace. "Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways." Right? You don't get to be prideful in this. No, be ashamed and confounded for your ways. It's for my name's sake that I do this, that I show forth this grace and glory throughout the world in the salvation of my people by giving them new hearts. then there will be an advertisement. An advertisement. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities. The waste shall be builded, the desolate shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate. And they shall say, the sight of all those who passed by, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. The waste and desolate ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. And so we can't go back, not only to Judaism of old, but we can't go back in the church to faithlessness and taking up the world and following after the world. We're supposed to be a praise and a glory to God in the sight of the world. That's what it says. This is exactly what Moses told the people of God in Deuteronomy chapter 4. I give you all these laws and all these statutes that the heathen which are round about you, here's what they're going to say about you. What nation on earth has a God like this that's so near to him in all that they call upon him for? And what nation on earth has all these holy laws and statutes and commandments and judgments as this nation has? This becomes an apologetic to the rest of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the principle that we see at the end of Ezekiel 36. All right, well, we're way over time. Let's stand and continue praising God.